Genesis 16, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Give us what we need this morning. Father, we ask this according unto thy will, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Hagar. Well, she's not one you would normally think of as far as a Mother's Day message or message on motherhood. But as I was praying about a week and a half ago, Lord, concerning my Mother's Day message or mothers, who would you have? It seems like I just couldn't get away from this thought of concerning Hagar. And there's a lot to glean from Hagar's life, which is really probably going to be doing this morning, is looking at Hagar's life for all of us. But you know, especially a woman who maybe is raising or feels as if she's raising children by herself. There's a lot of things we can glean and some help we can get from Hagar's life. First of all, I want you to notice, first of all, that Hagar was a victim of a bad marriage. She was a victim of a bad marriage. There's no way around it. She just was. Because now listen, the Bible says, notice, verse 3, she was a concubine, but a concubine was a wife, but a wife, if you will, as a lower status. Verse 3 says, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. So Hagar was Abram's wife. Well, she was a victim of a bad marriage. And I say a bad marriage because she didn't really have any say-so in this thing. She is under the authority of her mistress, Sarai, who gives her to Abram. You don't really see that she has much say-so, a lot in this thing. And Abram, friend of God, great man that he was, he really didn't handle this thing the best in the world. This is what we're going to see. He really doesn't. And so Hagar is a victim of some circumstances, a victim of a bad marriage. You know, many are in bad marriages because of bad choices. Do you know that? Many are in bad marriages because of bad choices. And regardless of why you're in it, from a good choice, a bad choice, or a good choice, or something going bad, whatever, it is what it is. But in Hagar's situation, she really didn't have a choice. She was a bondmaid without her freedom. Remember, she was a bondmaid. In fact, the Bible refers to it in Genesis, but go to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. She was a bondmaid. She didn't have no choice. Now, everybody in this room, you had a choice in your marriage. Or will have a choice one day. All right? You need to think well about it. Think well about it. Galatians 4, verse 22. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just being honest. Shoot straight with you. I wouldn't put much stock or just about give a dime for somebody telling me that, honestly, that, well, I believe God wants me to marry this man or this woman. I wouldn't give you a dime for it. Do you want to? You like them? You like them? Like spending time with them? Listen, the other stuff that sounds spiritual is not spiritual. All right? God lets you choose who you want to marry. That's Bible. Now, a bondmaid is a little different thing here. But two people with freedom, God gives you a choice. In fact, the Bible says Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7, that a woman, listen, she's free to marry whom she will only in the Lord. It's your choice. What does it mean in the Lord? It means as long as the other person's saved. Brother, marriage today, some people mean well, but they're making it so spiritual, they're making it unspiritual. Do you like the person? Do you want to be with them? Do you enjoy their company? Do you have things in common or try to have in common? Do you enjoy sitting down and just being together? If you've got that going in a marriage, then God can help it get stronger and stronger. Don't folks understand? I've told you, I've given examples. I know a situation. This young girl told a fella she fasted for 2 weeks, you know, about, and God told her that, you know, she fasted for 2 weeks, and boy, God was in this thing. Lord wasn't in that thing, or if he was, he must have departed out of it, because look here, wasn't long, that thing ended up in divorce. You know why? Let me tell you something. Evidently, the thing of it was, notice, I fasted about it. I believe we're supposed to get married. You're the woman. How about him getting in on the thing? And she browbeat that man, it looks like, to where it just killed him. He just... I'm serious. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times young girls don't realize it, but they're taking more upon them than what they're supposed to take upon them. Guys, I told you, if a girl tells you, I believe we're supposed to be together, I think you need to say, that's a cue we're not. That's a cue we're not. I'm serious. Look here. If God is in something, God should be directing the thing go pretty good. Brethren, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Young folks, be careful. There's a lot of things today that God set up to be simple and common sense. And it's made to look spiritual, but it's not spiritual. Do you understand? Do you like that? That's why there are lost people out there married who do better than saved people. Because they get along. They like to be with each other. They enjoy each other's company. Guess what? God set that up for all people, saved or lost. God didn't set it up for just saved people to get married. You do know that. God sanctioned marriage for the whole human race. Granted, once upon somebody saved, and the marriage is supposed to marry somebody else saved, and God can make that thing good. Better than what can be out there, supposed to be. But God sanctioned marriage. Did you know there are people in India right now that don't know God, but they're married for long times and get along fairly well? There are people in Russia have been married for a pretty long time. They don't know God, but they... Because why? They understand that marriage is two people liking to be together and committing. When you make marriage so spiritual that you forget the element of just flat getting along and knowing one another, you're going to blow it and miss it. And there's an order to this thing too. But anyway, we'll get to it in a minute. Anyway, she had a rough marriage. She didn't have a choice. She was a bondmaid. Galatians 4, verse 22. And by the way, you young folks, everybody, I don't think anybody here is a bondservant. I don't think we have any bondservants in here. So you got a choice who you marry someday. Amen. Galatians 4, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. That was Hagar. The other by a free woman, that would have been Sarai. All right, so she was a bondservant. Let me say something. You weren't forced into your marriage. No, you weren't. The Lord didn't make you into your union. You made a choice. And we eat the fruit of our choices for good or bad. You understand that? We eat the fruit of our choices. We eat the fruit of our choices for good or bad. Now, her marriage was not in, if you will, the will of God. God didn't direct it. It was a result of man's reasoning, not divine direction. Did God tell Abraham to do this? No. Did Abraham pray? No, no, look at this. You know what they did? She's like, Sarai's like, well, I'm not having children. Here's this and go into her and have a child by Hagar and that'll be it. And we're still paying for it to this day. She was an Egyptian. All right? She was a bond servant. Abraham just should have waited. Didn't? Okay, here we go. But don't you notice something? Listen, watch this. This marriage, what was this marriage for? This marriage was for one reason. A child. There was one reason for this marriage, a child. For a child, for others. And listen, this marriage was not for love and companionship. You don't see anything between Abram and Hagar. You never see anything. You don't. You don't ever see to where, that's his wife. But she's also Sarai's handmaid. And you never see anything with them. They got married to produce a child for Abraham and Sarai that Sarai can't even nurse. It's a fiasco from the word go. And you and I are paying for it today. You don't believe it? Pick up your newspaper. A place called Israel. They're still, the Palestinians, the Arabs rather, really, guess who they trace their descendancy to? Ishmael. Guess what? We are paying for this self-willed decision to this day. Still, and it's got worse. All right, so listen. But they got married. Listen, they were together for a child. But notice something. Abraham, he's Abram at this point. Abram and Hagar, they both loved the child they produced. Abram, he loved Ishmael. And she definitely loved him. But we don't see a devotion to one another. Children bless a good marriage. They cannot magically fix a bad one. Children bless a good marriage. They cannot magically fix a bad one. You ever hear some people say, well, maybe if we had a baby. Ah! What? Great goodness, you're going to bring a child in that hell hole. And I'm just being serious. This is serious I can be. You're going to be a child in the middle of that hellish mess. What? Huh? Just imagine that. Listen. We're mom and dad. Yeah. And you're going to take a youngin' in that? Huh? Why? As a distraction? This is a distraction to get your mind off. Ain't going to fix nothing. And that poor youngin' now is going to be a neurotic mess, possibly. Why? Because, listen, the reason people get neurosis and all kind of things, listen, is because you know what everybody's looking for? I said to them, and I said it again, security. Maybe it was Sunday afternoon abroad. I don't know when it was, but security. You know where little neurosis, little tics, little things like that come from, little habits? Security. Look, you know what happens? Look, when that child sees security with mom and dad, they're like, all right. But if not, then, okay, I'll develop some little habit and that makes me secure. Because I'm familiar with this. It's constant. It's always there. I can always touch this. I can always have this thing. That's security. You got me? Because it ain't there. It ain't there. Or else, they'll feel lost in the whatever and they'll act in a horrible way just to get attention. Just to get attention. When mom and dad ain't clicking, that kid is going to be a nervous, neurotic little mess. Looking for something. You know what? Why does he develop these little nervous habits? To survive. To find something in its life that is always there, always consistent, it can always go to. Are you with me? I'm just telling you. It'll bless a good marriage. Ain't gonna fix a bad one. All right, what she had to learn though? She had to learn, listen, this guy, Hagar, had to learn submission to authority. Look at Genesis 16, look at verse 4. It says, and he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Well, I mean, I can understand maybe how she felt, but it wasn't right. You know what happened? Here's her mistress is Sarai. She's a bond servant, bond maid. Well, now she gets pregnant by Abram. Abram is now Sarai's husband and her husband. And she's the one bearing fruit. So you know what she does? She struts it about. She kind of looks down at Sarai. See, Sarai, I mean, think about it. Sarai has the authority over her, but it's like, but I'm the one who got the child. I'm the one who got the child. Now, granted, should she have acted that way? Well, no, she shouldn't have, but she did. She did. And watch this thing. And so Sarai dealt hardly with her. Look at verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Gentlemen, you might as well go ahead and do right and obey God, because it will be turned on you anyway. It will. It's going to turn back on you. And if you, listen, guys, it will. If you go and say, well, I was only doing what I thought would make you happy. What? You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to make God happy. What are you doing listening to me? You can't. Well, you're a win. You're not going to win. I mean, can you imagine how Abram felt? It's like, this was your big idea. This was you. Well, you're supposed to be the one walking with God. You're the friend of God, not me. You're the one that's, I mean, seriously. You can't win. What? So what? She said, my wrong be upon thee. She put it back on him. I have given my wife into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, look at this now. Poor old Hagar. Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Guess what he said? I ain't touching this thing. Abraham's quite a man. That's a friend of God. What a man he was. But he was a man. And the Bible shows us Abram's warts and all, just like all of us, God help us. And you know what he did? Nothing. He didn't do nothing. He just said, I ain't getting in the middle of this thing. You handle that thing. He says, now listen, that was his wife now. And I know us looking back, it's clear, but I'm just, come on, I got to preach and teach it to you. He should have said, whoa now. Time out. Come on. You two, come on. You get in your corner and you get in your corner. Seriously. And it should have been now like, now Hagar, that's still your mistress. You're acting wrong. Now you need to knock that off. Stop it. And he should have said, Sarai, now wife, honey, you came up with this idea. Now, it's my fault. I could have said no, but whatever. But now, part of this, you had this idea. And look, okay, she's acting wrong. Needs to be dealt with. But now you calm down about it. You calm down about this thing. What he should have done was got them both and said, all right, now hold on. We're going to do something about this. But you know what he did? He did what's always easiest to do. I ain't touching it. You deal with it. And so she dealt hardly with her. So what happens? Verse 6, and when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now watch, I want you to notice this. Abram didn't really do her right. He didn't really do her right. And you know what? Sometimes ladies get into a situation where they have a child but no husband, or a husband who's not actively engaged, or just says, I ain't dealing with it. And he didn't do right. He should have stepped in and dealt with things, but he didn't. You know, it seems that Abram found fighting tribal wars easier than refereeing cat fights. I mean, really, when they came to him about Lot, he got his servants and said, we'll handle that thing. He goes out and divides them up into three companies, and Abraham could fight a tribal battle. But like getting in the middle of a cat fight, I can't touch that thing. And he just didn't deal with it. He didn't do anything. You know what he did? He just passed the buck. He wouldn't deal with it. And y'all listen, any situation that we don't deal with is going to bite us in one way or the other. I'm serious. I know how you feel. We all feel at times. You know how we feel about certain situations? I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. I remember y'all heard me tell when the youngins was little, me and Luke and Ben was on a trip with someone. There was a friend of Luke and Ben's. We were going, anyway, we was on this trip up to Greenville, right? And Luke's a little boy, and Luke's beside on me. We had done eat supper, but the other boys and the family we were with, or the men we were with, wanted to stop and get something to eat. We'd done eight, but I said, I'll get the boys a milkshake, right? Get a milkshake. Come back, it's dark, we're in the car, Luke's beside on me, all of a sudden I hear, you know what I did? I just sat there and said, I ain't dealing with this. Really, I just sat there like, nope, nope. I knew I was lying to myself. I knew I got to deal with it. But just a moment there, I was like, nope, nope. I'm going to pretend like there's not strawberry throw up all over the seatbelt of this man's car we're in. I'm not, and I thought, well, I got to deal with it. And I said, "Son, what's the matter?" So we stopped, right? I said, "You got to stop. Luke's sick." I said, "Stop the car." So we go in, right? We go in. I'm buying baby wipes and all kind of stuff, you know, and clean him up, you know. And I said, "Son, are you okay? Is it something in your stomach?" "Today, Mama taught me about my taste buds." He gagged himself, touching his taste buds because of you. So I look at him, I said, "Don't you dare." I said, "Look, if they ask you, tell them the truth, but don't volunteer what just happened. Don't tell those men what you just did." So we get back, and I am cleaning up, right, that vomit that is on the seatbelt and in the seat. And the boys in the back are pulling all the way up to Greenville with their coats over their head, the smell, right? And I'm like, "Oh, man." We get up in the room. I had to run out of a tub of water and wash his clothes. He was a little feller. I put him in the bed, but not a hardly stitch on with me that night to keep him warm, and washed his clothes out. And I called her, and she said, she was like, "Oh, I hate it happened, but I'm so glad I'm not there." I guess we bonded, huh? We didn't. Anyway, what I'm saying is there are times, I know it's a simple thing, but you know what? For a moment there, I was like, I refuse to deal with this. Knowing I got to deal with it. We can't drive over the green. I got to deal with it. Well, you know what? Listen, there are a lot of things we don't want to deal with, because it's just going to get complicated. But if we don't deal with it, it's going to get more complicated. And we have to. We have to. So what does she do? What does she do? She runs. Running solves nothing. Young folks here, whether you're listening on this recording or whether you're here, running solves nothing. If there are times that you have felt like, "I want to run, I want to leave this situation," it will solve nothing. Not one thing. It's not going to solve a thing. You understand that? Running solves nothing. It's not going to work. It didn't work for her. It's not going to work for you. Notice what the Lord does. If you run, and especially if you have any knowledge of God or claim to know God, to be known of God, notice that the Lord makes her face her responsibility. Look what he says. Watch. Verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid.'" He doesn't say just Hagar. He says, "Hagar, Sarai's maid." What? He reminds her who she belongs to. Listen. "Hagar, Sarai's maid." It'd be like, and I'm just going to use examples this morning. It'd be like if Sherry ran and the Lord reminds us, "Sherry, Kevin's wife." Or if the Lord said, "Phil ran." And the Lord said, "Phil, Vonda's husband." Or it'd be like the Lord saying, "Carly, Brad's daughter, Brad Nibby's daughter." Or being like Tyler, Jeremy Megan's son. Do you understand? He reminded her who she belonged to. He reminded her who her authority was. There was no way around it. She was a bond maid. She was a bond maid. Her mistress was Sarai. Yes, Abram was her husband. Sarai was still her legal mistress. She was a bond maid. Freedom was not given her. And she fled. And she's reminded by God who she belongs to. You girls in here, if your daddy and your mama has not given you away or not sent you away with blessing, you are under their authority. And if you leave, if you leave outside of them giving you away or with their blessing, you're a rebel. You're a rebel. You are not being abused. Listen, unless there's something I don't know, there's not no kid child in this room. It's being abused. Well, mental suffering, save it. Save it. You don't know what mental suffering and anguish is about. Huh? There's some folks out there and tell you about mental suffering and anguish. Roof over your head. Food in your mouth, on your belly, clothes in your back. Parents who care and want to try and be all they can be. No, you run, you're a rebel. I love you. I love you, but I'm not playing around. What does the Bible say? Listen, unless that dad gives you away or leave with his blessing, you're a rebel. Dad, we did it Wednesday night. I had all the dads stand up. I told you family members, look at your head. Look at your head. Him. He's the one to decide if leaving with blessing. He's the one to give away. He's the one. God set it up. Now listen, if you run, if you go without being sent away with blessing or given away, you're rebellious. Remember, whose are you? Whose authority are you under? Whose authority are you under? And have you been released from that authority yet? And I got another one for you. It don't balance out how boys are dealt with and how girls are dealt with. And if you try to make it balance out, it don't work. A boy and a young man is different from a girl and a young woman. And that's all there is to it. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to say to you. But there's a difference. There's a difference. A young man, it comes up to lead, to go out there, to work and to do. A young woman is under authority to be passed away. Come on, it's girls who get taken advantage of, not boys. And don't throw the exceptions out there, the sodomite stuff. We're not talking about that. Talking about the normal realm. Don't throw that stuff at me. There's a difference. There's a difference. And God set it up as different. With young girls and young boys, there are differences in how things. And what I'm saying is, there may be some dealings, and at times you might, well, that's not fair. Stop. There's not an equality exactly here in everything. And sometimes there will be differences. Sometimes there will be differences in how things are dealt with. And that's just the way it is. Unless you want to buy into the way the world looks at things. And I'm not saying that there can't be. I'm not saying that we don't take as parents and need to weigh things out. My goodness, we can weigh things out and we can. I understand that. But if you try to take and say, well, the boy dealt with this way, the girl with that, it's different. It's different in some ways. Didn't say in every way. Didn't say that. It's in some ways. You got to understand that. Listen. Come on, y'all. If you don't believe there's differences, and if you don't like what I'm saying, then you're listening too much to influence out there that's got into churches rather than listening to that book. Come on. I didn't take Luke. I didn't take Luke by the hand when he got married and give Luke away to Abby. Me and Luke came out together to wait Abby to be given to Luke. This one I took and gave her away. You understand? I didn't give Luke away. When Luke left, he left for my blessings. I didn't give him away to anybody. He was to receive somebody. I sent him away. Him and Ben, when they left with our blessing. But this one I gave away. I gave away. There's a difference. You understand? There's a difference. There's a difference with it. There's a difference in how things are done. Ben and Lou, the young men, starting a job, starting a... Okay, they but her, she was given away. And anything else, it would need to have been done with the blessing. If it was done some other way, with the blessing. All I'm saying is, listen, if you don't leave home with either being given away or the blessing of your parent, there's a rebellion taking place there. Well, brother, what about, listen, well, we was watching the other night in the teens. We were watching a movie on Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. And Hudson Taylor had wanted to marry a young girl named Maria, who became his wife ultimately. But her parents had died, and Maria was under the authority of a certain man named Mr. Townsend, who was away, and she was under, but she worked under then under him in a school. Well, Hudson Taylor had proposed, and the school marm, or whoever she was, I mean, granted, I'd about want to wring her neck, but anyway, she told Maria, no, you will not accept that. You will not. Hudson Taylor is going, you, and told her, to put that pen in your hand and write out a refusal. And I was like, woman, what in the world are you? But you know what she did? She did it. She did it. She did it. It about broke his heart. But guess what? Because in the movie there, she told her, Mr. Townsend would never agree to this. A couple months later, a letter comes from him. Please tell Maria that I give my wholehearted support to her union with Mr. Taylor. That I'm totally behind. And she had to give it to her. Right? God took care. I'm telling you, I thought that poor girl, but she submitted to that authority. And there's a God who saw. There's a God who saw. And he took care. It's one of the things that's killing us today. Is his understanding of authority. If you can't submit to your parents when you don't understand things. Oh, if you think you don't understand things sometimes with your parents. Start walking with God. He don't explain things sometimes. Lots of times he don't explain. He just says, trust me. And so often understanding comes later. How do you think you're going to walk with God in obedience if you can't with your parents? All right. So look what he asks her. First he reminds her who she is. Then look, he says, whence comest thou? Well, okay. So where'd you come from? He's reminded her, where's your place? Where's your place? He's reminded her. Then he says, whither wilt thou go? Where are you going to go? Listen, I sat there in that car. I'm not dealing with this. I didn't want to deal with it. I'm like, what am I going to do? Let us go all the way right up there with strawberry-shaped vomit on the... I got to deal with this. You're not thinking things through. Young person, where are you going to go? I'm going to... What? I'm not going to say that me and Sarah's mom have always seen eye to eye on everything. But I'll tell you one smart thing she did. I was 11th grade, I was in 12th grade, and Sarah was older than me, so she had done graduated, was going off to school, going to college. Well, I was like, that's it, I'm quitting school, and I'm going to get a job in Greensboro, we're going to get, you know. Now, brethren, that was El Stupido to the max. Brethren, there was no way. I could not have supported her, I could not have made, there was no way. But brother, I was thinking emotionally without any brains to it. I just loved being with her. Still do. But you know what her mom did? Instead of going and taking and saying, what? What do you think? You know, well now, Jonathan, how are you? She just used reason. And you know what I did? Listen, I was like, I'm an idiot. I didn't say it out loud. Just inside, I realized, there's no way. There's no way. Can't. You know what happens a lot of time, young person? You respond emotionally because you're upset and some things have struck you. Well, and let me tell you something. Get used to it because all your life, you're going to be tempted to respond emotionally. you need to control you. The one you need to conquer by the grace of God is you. But you need to think it through. So what are you going to do? I'm going to live in a dumpster. Seriously, what are you going to do? And parents, look here. What we've got to do sometimes, I know how we feel. I mean, by the way, young person, you handle something emotionally. Well, understand that your parent may do the same thing because they love you. And a lot of times, at the moment, they can't be very reasonable because they love you and they're upset. And you know what? You can provoke them and you can prick them and you can prod them and you can provoke them to where they blow. Now, we need to be in control, but let me tell you something. Young person, it is not your place to correct your parent, remind them of their wrongs, or try to remind them of things. That's not your place. I don't care if you're right, you're wrong. You may be right in your facts, but you're wrong. You don't do that. You don't do that. That is not your place. You are out of line to do that. That is your parent. You are walking a dangerous line. It doesn't matter if you're right about your facts. Whoa. You're out of place. You're wrong. And don't let it happen. Parents, don't let it happen. See that stuff going? Don't let it happen. One time, I found out about something my dad did. And I tried to excuse myself. I said, well, when you were... He stopped me real quick. He goes, I didn't know God. You've had him. Boy, he put me in my place. Listen. Look here. Can I use your example, my brother? Come up here just a minute. Just stand right there, Brad. Just stand at the pulpit. Brother, stand. Just face this way. Leah, Carly, Bailey, stand. Both of you would face up back right there. Leah, Carly, if you do mind if your daughters come up here.
No.
Y'all can come up. Now, just imagine. Don't worry, because I'm not going to ask you to do it. But just imagine I gave that to them and said, okay, girls, whoop your dad. Whoop your dad, girls, whoop him. Go ahead. You know? I don't know, maybe Brad handles something wrong. Maybe Brad handles something wrong. Go ahead. Lash him. Oh, great day in the morning. Yeah, thank you, brother. I mean, what? Let me tell you something. You don't verbally whip your parent. You don't verbally whip your parent. You don't throw things back in your parent's face. You don't whip them over things. You're out of line. You take it to God if there's anything. You don't do that. It's out of line. And it's wrong. And it's dangerous for you. What does he say do next? Look what it says. Take your Bible. Look what it says. He says, verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Wow. You know what he told her to do? Go back. Feel free to put your Bible there just a minute. Let Vonda hold it just a minute. And it'd be like, I'm back. Wow. Submit thyself under her hands. Did you know something? A lot of times when we think we're going to get a certain response from God, we don't get the response we thought we was going to get. Does God not care? She's going to find out. He's seen the whole thing. He's watching. He does care. But she's revolted from lawful authority. He's reminding her of her position. And he's sending her back under Sarai's hands. Notice there's no place for like, well, she was mean to me. That don't even come up. because what she did is more wrong. Okay, Sarah, I shouldn't handle it that way. Okay, fine. But she's under lawful authority, and she's bolted from it. She's sent back and told, submit under her hands. You know what? Look here. Y'all, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But I'm a pastor that's got a calling from God that I take very serious. And it's breaking my heart to see the things that go on. And there's so many people that could be helped if they would do some certain things, but they will not do it. They will not do it. Let me tell you something. If a lot of churches had some good old-fashioned foot washings where the men wash the men's feet and the women wash the women's feet, I'm not saying it's an ordinance. It's not an ordinance. But I tell you what, if a lot of churches did it, it'd do something for them because they're too proud. Let me tell you something. You know what? Submit yourself under her hands. There are some wives that need to go to their husbands. I'm serious. And say, put your hands on my head. I'm under your authority. No! Okay. You're going to continue to have problems. There are some children that need to go and say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm under your authority. Put your hands on my head. Put your hands on my head. I'm under your authority. Now listen, you know what? If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I ain't got to do that. No, no, you don't. But why does that bother you? I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying you got. Well, she did. Almost. She did. I'm not saying you got to. Well, why does that bother you? What'd you say, Jimmy?
Pride.
Yes, sir. Why would that bother you? Well, you don't have to do those things. Never said you did. Never said you did. But I'll be. Why does that bother you? I think there's something there. It's going to be interesting when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. People's going to find some things out about. You never know. That very act of doing that may help you break loose on some things that you've been struggling with. There's a strange thing in the Bible about postures, about things you do. There's something about lifting up holy hands in the New Testament and praying. There's something about a wave offering, a heave offering. There's something about the bowing the head, the prostrate. There's something about postures that reveal things. No, it didn't say you had to go do that, but why would you be trying to think, sure, I don't think I got to do that. Why does that bother you? I know the night I got saved, I'd have done whatever God asked me, but I just wanted Jesus. And you know, a lot of times when your heart really clears itself, well, you don't care what you'd have to do to show it and everything. It just something to think about. All right. So what happens? Well, she goes back. She goes back. But listen, she goes back. But look what the Bible says. Look what it says. Before she goes back, look at this. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord, verse 10. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. When he tells her to go back, guess what he's also letting her know? I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you. And you're going to be blessed if you just go back and do right. Look at verse 11. Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. You know what we often think? God don't care. God don't see. If he does see, he don't care. God don't care what was just told to me. God don't care how I was just treated. God don't care what I just saw. God don't care what's been said to me. God don't care what's been thrown at me. God don't care. He does care. God sees the whole thing. God's looking out for her. But before she's told God sees your affliction, first she's told go back. First she needs to learn to submit to authority. Then she hears, God sees what's going on. God has heard your affliction. He's going to look after you. Wow. But that's after she's told what to do. All right? And you know what? Look, check it out. Look at this. The Lord says to her, verse 11, thou art a child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. Now she's told that. She's told that. Well, look who names the boy. Verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Well, he wasn't there when that angel told her that. Abram wasn't there. She's the one who was told his name will be Ishmael. How come Abram named him that? Well, listen. Most likely, when she went back, she told Abram everything that had happened. Why should Abram listen to a bondservant who says, an angel met me and told me his name's supposed to be Ishmael? Why should he listen to her? Because she came back. Do you know what carries weight to your witness and your words and your testimony? Obedience. Obedience. Guess what would win a lost husband or a lost mother or father or a lost boss? Obedience to authority. And Abraham wasn't a lost man, but what caused him to say, wow, you know, I believe that thing. Because she came back and submitted. You know what carries weight? Submission to authority and obedience. It carries weight. All right, so watch what happens. Watch what happens. So she stays. And she submits. Now, what's going to happen next time is she will be sent away from God. I mean, not from God. Well, I mean, God will be in it. God will have her sent away. But guess how long it takes? 17 years. Look at your Bible. Look at Genesis 16, verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. That's 86. She was 86. All right, go to Genesis 21. Verse 7. Excuse me, Genesis 21, verse 5. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said that unto Abraham, that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. I say he was 17. Listen. He was 86 and then 100 when the boy was born. But she didn't leave till he's weaned, which would be roughly maybe about 3 years. So approximately, Ishmael is 17 years old, roughly. Give or take a little bit, but roughly about that age when she's sent away. She goes back and stays for 17 more years, at least. Anyway, listen, let me say this to you. You need to put your timetables down. Quit holding God to some kind of a schedule of when He's supposed to make everything right. You're only making trouble for yourself. Do right till the stars fall. Do right for the long run and don't worry about timetable. You see it with Joseph. You see it with David. You see it with Moses. You see it with Hagar. You see it with Job. What happens is, we're like, we'll go back and do right. Well, okay, I've been doing right for a month now. I don't see no... Stop. Well, I've tried to been doing this for a year or two. Stop. Put the calendar, put the watch, put it down. Stop. All she needs to know is, God reminded me of my authority. I'm going back. I know God sees. I know God sees it. He's going to look after me. I know that. And she stays, hangs in there. 17 more years. 17 more years. What'll mess you up is when you think God ain't doing nothing or ain't moving quick enough. She has proof God sees and cares. But she's going to forget about it just like we do. But she hung around 17. Quit your time schedule. Don't put God on any kind of a schedule. All right. This time, though, in Genesis 21, this time she is sent away instead of running away. Look what happens. Real quick, look what happens. Genesis 21. I know you know the story, but real quick, look at there. Verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Stand up, sweetie. Can you imagine? Like, God go with you. You can sit down. But can you imagine? God go with you. Now listen. Bottle of water, some bread. You might think, that is cold. No, it's not. That man knows Ishmael is going to become a nation. They're going to make it through this. Do you understand? Her faith may waver, and it's going to. But Abraham knows it's going to be okay. He gives her immediate provision. That's all she needs. She needed immediate provision. Water and some bread. Okay. He's not cold. He's obeying God. And when you obey God, there are going to be people that think you are cold. A lot of times other family members will think you're cold. They're not going to understand. But he knew. God had told him, Abraham, I'm going to take care of that boy. I'm going to make 12. I'm going to make 12 nations out of him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to take care of him. It's going to be okay. He knows that. Abraham knows it's going to be okay. He's got to obey God. He gives her bread and water. Sends her on her way. It may seem cold. It may look like a cold thing. But he knows they will be okay. Because God has definitely instructed him in that thing. But here, and I want you to hang with me. Here we get kind of to maybe the Mother's Day part of the thing. And it's the plight of the single mom, whether married or unmarried. I mean, there's some single moms, but they're married. Yeah. So here's the plight of the single mom, married, whether married or unmarried. Because she now has no help from her husband. She has bread and water in limited supply. She has no direction. He didn't tell her, all right, look, go about 50 miles out. You're going to find it there. Or go about 10 miles. I don't know. You know. He didn't tell her. He just, you got to go. Bread, water. She has no direction, limited supply. But she has a promise from God. If she can only remember it and trust. And she has prayer. 17 years ago, she was told, that boy is going to become a people. I'm going to look after him. But listen, I'm not getting on Hagar. All of us in a crisis tend to forget. When the sun is beating down and the water's getting low and the bread's getting meager, and you know what we do? That promise way long time ago, 17 years ago, about him being he's going to be a wild man. He's going to dwell among his people. That becomes like, I don't know. Maybe I was deceived. Maybe God forgot about me. Because look how it's falling out. If she can only remember the promise and trust and go to prayer, she'll be okay. Brethren, listen to me. Sometimes you will seem to be wandering aimlessly without direction. There will be times in your life you will seem to be wandering aimlessly without direction. God sees all. Hold fast to His promises. God sees. God sees. God sees. Well, why didn't God do nothing? Who's to say that He's not doing something? It just hadn't fallen out on your timetable. And maybe He first wants you to recognize some things about yourself. Were there some problems? Yes. But what was the greater issue? Authority. Amen. Some things about authority she needed to learn. God does see. She just needs to remember that. So what happens? Well, look what happens. Verse 15, and the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child into one of the shrubs. And she went and sat over down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now watch. The water gave out. It seems to go from bad to worse. Think about it. Wouldn't that be pretty bad? You'd be thinking, okay, I got water. I got some bread. We're going to be okay. Surely we're going to be okay. And then the water's gone. Water's gone. And there's no other supply. Listen, sometimes, brethren, it seems to go from bad to worse. You hear me? Sometimes it's going to seem to go from bad to worse. Why? And here's the question. Why didn't God do something? Why didn't he do something? Listen. All resources are not exhausted yet. All resources are not exhausted yet. It's bad, but it's not hopeless. Brethren, you know, often we're like Hagar. God, I'll trust you if you'll just work in a way that meets my approval. God, if I can just make sense of it, if I can just see a little bit, I'll trust you. But that's not how it works. So listen, her despair causes her, look what it causes her to do. Her despair causes her to desert her child. And what she does? She gets self-centered. Because of grief, but it's still self-centered. Look what she does. She cast the child on one of the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Well, she don't want to see him die. She's got a promise that he's not going to die. He needs her. She is giving up hope. She thinks he's going to die. She goes and puts him over there because she don't want to see him die. Let me tell you something. It's selfish. What's easy for you to say? Yes, it is easy for me to say, but it's right for me to say. And let me tell you why it's selfish. That boy needs her. All he's got right now is his mom. And he's going to pray where she won't. We'll see that in a minute. But you know what? He needs her. He needs her. And mama goes off like, I just can't deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. I can't deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. And she goes off and leaves that boy by himself. He needs her. Did you realize that sometimes when you are grieving and you don't want to see a thing and it hurts you bad and you're just like, I can't deal with it. Do you realize, I understand, it hurts, it's hard, but that's selfish. People need you. When you don't want to come to church, listen, there are times I've told some of you, you need to rest, I understand those things. But when you just want to indulge yourself, do you realize how selfish that is? People need you. They need you. When there's not a legitimate reason, listen, people need you. Listen, this child needed her. She can only see her predicament. She can't or won't allow herself to see the promises of God. She weeps and cries out, but not to God. You know what we often do? I don't deal with it. I don't deal with it. I understand that. But she's only thinking about herself. That boy needs her. It's all he's got left now. He's got God. You know what I'm saying? But he needs somebody there. And she just goes off because she don't want to deal with it. And she don't want to fool with it. Okay. Watch what happens. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of who? The lad. God didn't hear her voice. God heard the voice of that boy. How come? She was making noise. She was crying. She was weeping. Not to God. There's a difference between going, I can't take it, versus, God, help me, I can't take it. You understand? There's a difference between just crying out misery and crying unto God. Evidently, I mean, who was that boy's daddy? Abraham. Evidently, Abraham had taught that boy to pray and trust God. Because you know what that boy does? He prays. he prays or he cries out to God because God didn't hear Hagar. The Bible says God had heard the voice of the lad. God didn't hear Hagar. Why didn't God hear her? She's not crying to God. She's just crying. And she's not trusting the promises God had already given her. But God hears the boy. God heard Ishmael. He prayed. She despaired. Look what happens next. And the angel called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." A little rebuke to her. A little rebuke. "Hagar, God's heard your son, not you." Listen, the Lord doesn't put, the Lord doesn't, this is interesting. God doesn't take and go, "Poor Hagar. What aileth thee, Hagar? Hagar, what's the matter? Fear not, God's heard your son." We tend to look at God like he's one of us. And brethren, I'm going to tell you something. People found it out about Jesus. You come to the Lord and you're liable to not quite get what you thought. You'll always get understanding. It just may not be in the way you thought. Thank you, Lord, you give us what we need. Amen. Not what we think we need. Right. But Lord, you love enough to do. Thank you, Lord, for how you operate, even if I don't like it at times. Thank you, Lord. Instead of going to patting her on the back, poor Hagar. What aileth thee, Hagar? Hadn't you heard somebody say, "What's ailing you? What's wrong with you?" Because listen, it doesn't have to be this way with her. She had a promise. She had a promise. Every time she repeated her son's name, "Ishmael, come here." Where'd that name come from, Hagar? Hagar, where'd that name come from? You didn't just choose that. Remember, Hagar? The Lord told you to name him that. And the same Lord that told you to name him that name told you God was going to make a nation out of him. God was going to make him. She's not recollecting that. She's just, because she's just looking at what's going on now. And so the Lord doesn't pat her on the back. He says, "What is it, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad." It's a little rebuke. Hagar, God's heard him, not you. Because you're just crying, not crying to God. He asked her what's bothering her. She's focusing on the problems, not the promises. And after the gentle rebuke, it wasn't a rebuke, but it was gentle. It was gentle. He tells her what to do. Look at verse 18. Arise. Arise. He tells her, get up. Brethren, there's a time to get up instead of wallowing in our misery. There's a time to arise. There's a time to get up. Others need us. Her son needed her. Arise. Lift up the lad. Her child needed help. He was left by himself. He needed lifting up. How do you know he needed lifting up? Well, brethren, I'm not real smart, but if the Lord says lift up the lad, then the boy needed lifting up. And sometimes there are those around us who need lifting up, and we can lift them, but we're focusing on our misery, our problems, and not God's promises. And God's merciful with it, but he does give a little gentle rebuke there. He says, arise, get up, lift up the lad. Brethren, there are those around us who need lifting up, not kicking, not beating down, not with all the problems thrown in their face, not shaking their head. They need lifting up. Your family needs you, moms. Quit despairing over the situation and go lift them up. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand. Hold them. Comfort them. Give them affection when they need it. Don't you raise your hands. I don't want to see your hands. Don't raise them. But there may be some of you moms in here and you have had a hard time showing physical affection to your children because it was never given you. The only kind you received was the wrong kind perhaps, and you've had a hard time of it. You need to ask God to help you learn it because listen, if you're a hard woman, you ought to be ashamed of that. You need to be a woman that's got some tender and compassion to you. Amen. You need to be able to show some comfort. Especially that's the way a woman needs to be. And if you've got a hardness to you, you need to ask God to help you get out of that and be a tender woman. You're a woman, not a man. And even men are supposed to show compassion at times. That boy needed a touch. Hold him in your hand.
Yes, sir.
He was 17 years old just about. Hold him in your hand.
Yes,
I understand. The devil's so messed with things, there's a lot of even women who should naturally know to be compassionate and know how to give tender touch, and they don't know how to. But glory to God, ask God to help you how. We talk about how girls, if they don't get attention from a dad, will come to some boy. And that's true. But did you ever realize if a boy don't also get attention from a mother, they're going to seek some kind of attention from a woman in their own way. I'm tough. Well, tough meat ain't good. I'm tough. Home needs some compassion. Home needs some tenderness. Home needs to know when to be lifted up and when to be helped. Do you understand me? Arise, get up, lift up the light and hold him in thine hand. Comfort him. Give him affection when they need it. And look, for I will make him a great nation. Reminds of the promises. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water. And gave the lad drink. Listen. The Lord opened her eyes and she saw what she needed. Hey, by the way, your Bible don't say God made a well of water. It was there all the time. It was there all the time. She just couldn't see it for focusing on her misery. Your Bible don't say God all of a sudden made a well of water. No. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. God helped her to see what was there. Brethren, often it is only when we stop focusing on our circumstances, get up and obey the Lord, remember His promises, and try to help others, that things become clear and we see what we need to see. You know what I'm saying, brethren? Look here, just about done with it, but think about that. It's often only when we arise, get up, quit focusing on our problems, try to help others that we see clear what we need to see, and get the sustenance we and others need. Go on, look what it says real quick. Verse 20, God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Because she was an Egyptian, so she went. Listen, she helped him find a wife. You know what she did? She stepped up and did what she had to do. Go to Genesis 25 real quick. I mean, usually the dad would go help find a, you know, but there was no dad there. I mean, you know, she had been. So she steps up and does what she's supposed to do. And by the way, let's see. Can we figure out if maybe, do you think maybe after he gets older, you know, and she's finding a wife, or do you think that she ever said, "Your daddy, your father"? Huh. Well, Mama, I remember some good things. Yeah. Bottle of water, some bread, sent me and you off out here in the wilderness. Yeah, your father. Didn't happen. How do you know it didn't happen? Look at Genesis 25. Verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man full of years was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Well, I'll be. She evidently never turned Ishmael against Abraham or Isaac. How about that? She evidently never turned Ishmael against Isaac, his half-brother, nor against Abraham, his father. She never did it. To this day, the Arabs revere Abraham. And Hagar did a pretty good job. You may not be honest, you may not honestly praise him, but don't you ever turn the children against their father. You may not honestly praise him. I mean, Abigail, she could, but don't you ever turn them against him. Don't do it. She didn't. Oh, if she wanted to, she could have. Your father left. But she knew he was just a minding the Lord. And she didn't do it. And to this day, the Arabs revere Abraham. Hagar. I tell you what. That gal had a rough go. She had a rough go. A lot of it was just circumstances that just happened. A lot of times she didn't handle things right. But shoot, neither did Abraham and neither do you and I. But one thing about her, she tended, it seems, to learn some lessons. She tended. And if somebody said, well, she forgot the promises. And Abraham did too at times. That's what got him this mess to start with. I think, remember, Abraham lying more than one occasion about even who his wife was to things. Listen. And he was a friend of God. She's done pretty good. She's done pretty good as a victim of circumstances. As sometimes we become victim, if you will, of circumstances. But those circumstances don't have to make us. The Word of God, knowing God and yieldness and obedience to Him is what can make us. If an Egyptian bondservant can make it, so can you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us, dear God, to examine ourselves, dear God, in all kinds of ways as we look at Hagar. And Lord, help us to take the principles that we've seen from your word and help us, Lord, to make a right and a proper application. Father, help us, dear God, to find the time to chew on these matters. And let your Spirit, Lord, just give us instruction and give us guidance, Lord, that we can learn and glean from what your word shows to us about this woman called Hagar. And Father, we ask this according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.